Good morning, good morning, everyone. Lovely to be back with you all. If you didn't realize, I've been away for a couple of weeks. Just a big thank you to those, and many of you have been praying, supporting us as a little family and being incredibly generous as we welcomed our little boy Caleb into our family. Here's a photo on the screen of him. Lynn, if you jump to the next. There he is. Isn't that a proud brother? Yeah, so Caleb arrived just over 2 weeks ago, Saturday morning. I thought I might take a moment to answer all the questions, because then it's going to save me a moment, or many, many, many moments, and also save Ella a moment when she comes back and she doesn't get bombarded as well, right? He was born last Saturday, so 2 weeks ago, 12:40 a.m. in the morning. It was quite quick. 8 pounds, 7.5 ounces, ladies. So good size, a little bit smaller than Judah, but he's doing really well. All went really smoothly. Baby's happy. Caleb is and Ella are doing really well. It was much smoother pregnancy, birth, I should say, rather than compared to Judah. Pray for Judah. He's settling into being a big brother. A fair bit of adjusting to being a family of four, but we're doing really well. So continue to pray for us, please. But thank you very much for everyone who's showed kindness. Just a message. It makes a big difference. Eh? Over the past few weeks, we've spent some time reflecting about and hopefully praying deeper, learning to pray differently, learning to pray again, reminding ourselves that prayer isn't just saying words, but it's how we live in connection with God and with one another. I really love the image, Edry, that you've just shared with us. There's so much in there. But it is about living in connection with God. In week one of our series, Bevan looked at what it means to pray in Jesus' name. To not land our prayers with that, but to start our prayers with Him, to orientate ourselves to the fact that we pray in the name of Jesus and there's power in that. It's the way that we orientate ourselves. We shift our attitudes and our heart around who Jesus is because we pray in His name. To pray in His name is to pray with His character, to pray with His authority, to pray with His heart. And then Mary in week two talked about praying as just being with Jesus, wasting time with Jesus, I think. I wasn't here, obviously, but wasting time with Jesus, spending time with Him, not rushing, not performing, just abiding. Learning that prayer is not about getting things done, actually. It's about being in relationship with someone. About spending time with them. And then last week, I have watched this sermon because I wanted to know what I was following on from today. Kylie reminded us of a remarkable call to pray for one another. That we are a royal priesthood is the language she used. And I love how she traced that priesthood all the way through Scripture, didn't she? When we pray, we're not just spectators on the side. We're not people who just watch from a distance. We're those who are drawn right into the activity of God. We're priests called to serve God and called to serve people, called to serve one another. We carry people and places and situations before God. And so just as Kylie invited us all to step into praying for one another last week. It wasn't just a great message or reminder. She wanted to make that really clear. It wasn't just a great message, but it was. It was an invitation, wasn't it? To step into something. And today my hope is that there's an invitation to step into something again for you this morning. Today we land the series and we continue by talking about praying for others, particularly praying for others that are beyond the four walls of this church. We live in a broken world. Edry has referred to that several times this morning. A world that is in deep need of God's redemption, isn't it? A world that is broken. A world that needs to meet Jesus. Watch any news bulletin, open the newspapers, and you have to often look pretty hard for good news, a gospel story, right? We live in a world, I think we live in a world of almost constant shock. Which is a shock as we watch one thing after another unfold. We think, how can humans do this to one another? War after war, crime after crime. And I think we just live with this, like the only thing we do is become numb, right? Unless we are connected to God. Unless we're connected and plugged into God, and unless we bring this to God in prayer, we just become numb. Because that's all that we can do as humans, with shock after shock. But that's the mission that we're invited to be part of. That's what we actually exist for. That's what the church exists for. The church doesn't exist primarily for itself. We don't exist for ourselves. We exist for those who don't yet know Jesus, who are yet to encounter and meet Jesus. For the Luke 4 people that Kylie spoke about last week, the brokenhearted, the oppressed, the bound up. And Kylie shared this why last week. And I love the way that it expresses our role in God's mission. What's the why of our prayer? Why do we pray? Because God invites us as his royal priesthood to partner with him in prayer in his redemptive work on earth. It's not our work. God is the one, it's God's mission. God is the one doing the work. And throughout all of Scripture, we see this beautiful shape of God's mission. The way that God is at work, reconciling, restoring, healing what is broken, bringing freedom for the captives, recovery of sight for the blind. And one of the main and primary ways that we join in that mission is through prayer, through interceding, through intercession. Intercession isn't just about praying about things. It's standing before God on behalf of others. It's carrying our neighborhood, our schools, our workplaces, whatever wherever we are, and saying, Lord, let your kingdom come here. That's the prayer, right? That's the invitation. Jesus models us for that. Lord, let your kingdom come here. As the people of God, we're invited not to just carry our own lives, not just our church, not even just our town, but the world, nations, conflicts, places that we may never go, and people that we may never meet, but to stand before God and pray, Lord, let your kingdom come here. But here's the thing, I think. We can become really overwhelmed with that because that's big, right? Look at the news and look at what's going on around the world, and it's overwhelming. I think we learn to carry the world by learning to carry what's right in front of us first, to seeing what's in front of our feet. We start where our feet are. We can't start over there, right? We've got to start here. We don't pray because everything depends on us. It doesn't. God's will be done whether you're part of it or not. That's a humbling fact, right? God's will be done. But we also don't pray as if nothing depends on us. Somehow, in the beautiful mystery of God, he chooses to involve us. Prayer becomes a place where heaven and earth overlap, where heaven comes to earth, where we align ourselves with what God is already longing to do. Again and again in the Gospels, Jesus meets people as he's walking. Think about that. If you just think about the Gospels, these phrases come up. As he went along, he saw, or as he was passing through, on the way. Right? We know these phrases come up again and again and again in the Gospels in Jesus's life and his ministry. And every time, something happens, doesn't it? A life is changed. Healing comes. Someone is seen for the first time in decades. And I was thinking about this and reminded of something that I read a while ago, that love has a speed. Love has a speed. It's a spiritual speed. It's the speed of 5 kilometers an hour. That's the speed of love, which is how fast an average person walks. It's how fast Jesus walks from place to place. And that's really slow, right? Maybe fast for some of you. But compared to the way that the world tells us to do, to the fast pace, go, 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 5 kilometers an hour, that's time to stop, to see, to look. And maybe that's part of what it means to follow Jesus, to walk in the way that he walked. Not waiting for ministry to come to us, but stepping into ordinary spaces and just looking, observing, and seeing what he is doing. Walking at a pace where we can be attentive, where we can be prayerful and available. As I was preparing for this morning, I was reminded of an experience that I had about probably 15, maybe 20 years ago. I was a much younger lad, and I was part of a youth event, part of another church actually, Salvation Army, if anyone's from that context, that I was invited to, and we were invited to walk down K Road and Queen Street, if you know Auckland, Friday night as well. So pray, if you know Auckland, that's not the safest of places and not the best of times to be walking about at night as a youth group. I don't know how they did the Rams form on that, but I distinctly remember the feeling of my heart and my eyes being opened. We were invited just to walk these streets to pray with a curiosity and just a holy eyes is what they talked about. Asking God to show us what he sees. And I remember feeling my heart being opened, my eyes being opened to seeing the people around me with the compassion and the love that God had for him. And I realized in that moment that prayer doesn't just change things out there, it actually changes us too. It changes how we see. Suddenly, Queen Street and K Road, they weren't just streets, and they weren't just strangers that I was seeing. They were a place that God loved. They were people that God was pursuing. And we had some really awesome opportunities and interactions. It's amazing what buying McDonald's set of small fries can do to a conversation, right? So this prayer walking, this 5 kilometers an hour, is something that I've tried to make part of my regular rhythms of life. In one way or another, and to various degrees of success and regularity. But Judah is 2.5 now. So he moves at about, well, not probably even that pace. And we live in town, so we have the privilege of being able to just walk around town. And he bikes a lot, and we spend a lot of time walking around the block, particularly at the moment, trying to get out of the house. You might have seen us on our journey once or twice, but one of the things I've tried to do is try to make these prayer walks intentional. To invite God to open my eyes to see what he sees. As I walk past each home, just imagining, God, what are you saying to me? What's going on here? What can I pray about? As I walk past schools, praying for the teachers, praying for the students, past businesses, just a brief moment of prayer. Asking God to reshape my eyes with his. The Gospel of John reminds us of the way that Jesus stepped into our world. The way that Jesus moved at 5 kilometers an hour through our world, bringing healing and restoration, bringing hope and freedom. John 1 verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Oh, I love the way that the message puts it. I love the way that Eugene Peterson captures what John's trying to say here. Love the beginning. The Word became flesh and blood, became us, and moved into the neighborhood. And so today is going to be a little bit different. You may have seen a bit of a warning in the newsletter, and if not, then that's okay. We're all in this together. This is not just a message to listen to. Growth in us comes not from hearing and learning just with our minds. It comes from the stepping out. And the movement from where we are to the places that God is calling us. And today, I think there's an invitation and the challenge. I want to give you a challenge to respond. In a moment, we're going to pray and we're going to intercede as a whole church body. But not just here in this room, but out there. Today there's an invitation to move beyond our walls. We've sung about that, right? I blame the tiredness, but you know this is normal. To be brave. To move beyond our walls and into our community and to pray as a church community. So for those who are able today, and the weather has held off, praise the Lord, and we're going to step outside these walls and we're going to walk our neighborhood to pray for the streets around us. And if you don't know what the streets, let me tell you about the streets. We've got three streets in the main road, Station Road, with businesses down there, but we've got three residential streets around us as a church. We've got George Street down here, Mellion Street's down here, and if you tuck down the road, you've got Conifer Street, Conifer Place down there. Three streets. Streets that are known as the rougher part of town. That was one of the first things that someone said to me. The church is in the rougher side of town. And I said, great. It's the best place it can be, right? So today, that's an invitation. To move beyond our walls, to go and to pray. The goal isn't to pray loudly or to have it all together. Some of you are in freak out mode right now, and that's okay. Just take a couple of big breaths. Our hope and our prayer is just to pray, Lord, your kingdom come. It's as simple as that. You don't need the right words. You don't even need to feel confident. If you don't, you're probably in the right space. You don't need to be gifted in evangelism. It's not an evangelism moment. You don't need to have all things together. It's not about doing things right. This is about being available and involving, inviting God to transform our eyes and our heart as much as we invite him to transform this community. As much as it is about God's kingdom coming here in Te Puke, it's about God's kingdom coming in our heart. So we're going to walk out these doors in a second, and you might just walk these streets and simply notice what's around you and pray, just maybe, God bless this home. It's interceding. It's so simple. God bless this home. We can all say that. God bring peace here. I know these homes are not filled with peace. We see that week in, week out. God reveal yourself. So that's the challenge. I also realize there are some here that heading out is not possible for you. You're not able to move, and that's okay. You have done this many times in your life, I'm sure, as well. And so you're not on the sidelines. You are part of us, and we're going to have some guided prayer here as well. There'll be some slides on the screen to help you pray through this next half hour, probably, maybe 20 minutes. So if you're not able to move, that's okay. But don't let there be an opt-out if you are. For those of us who are able to move and to head out to these streets, can I invite you to be brave? Because the story of Scripture is that God doesn't stay distant. He moves towards his people, doesn't he? He steps into neighborhoods. He comes close to us. And now by his Spirit, he sends us, not as experts, but as people, as his priests who pray, people who notice, people who carry his presence into ordinary but broken places, who intercede and invite God's kingdom to come. So let's go into the streets that God has placed this church family. Not to make something happen, because we don't make anything happen. God does the work. But to join what God is doing, to intercede and invite him to for his kingdom to come here. A couple of just practical things. Just to calm us all down. This is a whole family moment. So kids, Max, that's why you haven't headed out. And kids and Max, you're coming with us. Your prayers are powerful. You see things that we don't. So if you've got kids, welcome them along. Help walk with them. This is a discipleship moment, eh? If you've got littlies in the flat, you're welcome to grab them. Or they're okay to be there until 11:30 until we come back. They'll be supervised and looked after well. Some of you might actually have on your heart, and if you do, then that's great. I encourage you to do this, to head to a school or to a particular other part of Te Puke. And if you want to jump in a car with a few others and head there and go and pray for a school, pray for a particular part of Te Puke, then go for it. Do that. That'd be amazing. Just don't jump in a car and go and pray for a cafe. That's not the moment, okay? Take this moment to be brave and step out. Yeah? Are we in? Cool. Just be respectful of those that are in the streets. We go into these streets as guests. Don't knock on doors or go into properties. It's not the time to be Mormons, okay? Stay on the streets and let's just pray. Let's pray for our neighborhood, okay? And maybe go in smaller groups. Go with 3 or 4. You might walk out these doors and say nothing out loud. And that's great. That's okay. There's no problem with that, yeah? Just walk and ask God to open your eyes. And know that God sees your heart. And that hopefully in the process, God's something doing something in you as much as God's doing something in our neighborhood. And we'll gather, there is coffee and tea, promise. There'll be coffee and tea here at 11:30. So come back. Go out for about 20 minutes. Go for a walk. And then we'll come back for coffee and tea. Can I just pray as we go? Yes, you can. Of all people.
Well, people will be blessed because I've done it for years. And it's a real blessing, the people you meet when you walk the streets. And pray over people, pray a blessing. That's what the Holy Scripture says, to pray for those around about us that will come to know our Lord. That is the desire of my heart. It's been for years. And I pray to be encouraged everybody today as they do it.
Thank you, Bill. I'm sure half of us have seen Bill walking the streets, eh? Thank you for your example. Let's pray. God, we know your heart is for the world that we live in. And we are a small microcosm of that, a tiny part of the world that you've created. But God, you've placed us here in this neighborhood, in this people. And that's not by accident, God. So God, as we move beyond these walls, or as we go out from this place, or as we sit here and we intercede from this moment if we're not able to move, God, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts, firstly. Guide our hearts and open our eyes. And God, we pray that you would do a work in our neighborhood. We know that your Spirit is at work, that you desire to see this neighborhood made whole. And so God, as we move out, would you help us to see with your eyes, to move at the pace where we can see and notice what's going on. If we don't have the words, Lord, then that's okay, God. Just help us guide our thoughts and open us, open our ears and our eyes to what you're doing. Give us confidence as we are brave and we do this, God. It might be uncomfortable. But God, we pray that in the discomfort there would be growth and there would be us being transformed more into your likeness, Jesus. Amen. Right, those of you that are able, get out of here.